Amen. When I see the blood, it reminds me of what a filthy rag I am. But there is something about the blood that can take a filthy rag like me and make me white as snow, that God would use me for his glory. I give God praise for this opportunity to stand before you and proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. First giving him honor and glory, then to our pastor, Pastor Jemison, we give you praise for leading this flock called Second Baptist, to our deacons, trustees, officers, members, and friends, and Second Baptist family. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Can we give a hand clap of praise for this Chancellor Choir and the musicians that accompany them today? And to my co-laborers in the gospel, thank you for your support. Let's see. I want to just recognize my wife and my daughter. I thank God for them. Amen. For them being here. They are an inspiration. That's my wife, Tanisha, just waved her hand. And my daughter, Jada, is sitting down at this moment. Amen. But we thank God for the opportunity to once again stand behind this sacred desk. And I know there is a scripture text printed in the teller. And if you look back at the 8 o'clock service, that was the sermon, part of the sermon for 8 o'clock. But there's been a change in direction. Amen. And I promise I won't preach from 2 Corinthians, Pastor Jemison, nor will I preach from the book of Job. But our text is going to come from Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And I will read in your hearing verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And it reads thus: Therefore, seeing we are also Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us pray. Eternal and all-wise God, we come before you once again to give you thanks, to give you glory, and to give you honor. I ask now, Lord, that you would take me out of self, that this thy people would see none of me, but let them see all of thee. Hide me behind that rugged cross of Calvary. Lord, anoint me now for thy service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In the spirit of the Olympic Games, I was drawn to this portion of scripture. I got kind of excited. I don't know about you, but I got kind of excited watching the athletes swimming. And then I watched the track. Those were some exciting events. And as we look at this text, Paul is reflecting on the Olympics. He starts out letting us know that we are compassed about with a great cloud of witness, a stadium filled with people observing those things that we are doing. And my brothers and sisters, there are times in life when you have to lay aside some things. So I just want to share with you, lay it aside. The followers of Christ who are willing to accept God's will for their lives must use as much moral and spiritual effort as a champion athlete uses in winning a race. You see, spiritual trophies aren't won by those who warm the bench, or may I say, warm the pews. The crown of victory, which the Heavenly Father desires to bestow on us, will not be granted to those who fall by the wayside and drop out of the race. Galatians 6 and 9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not." Looking back at athletes, athletes lay aside all of the weights and hindrance that would prevent them from achieving their objectives. The Olympic athletes train hard in preparation to compete in their events. And there are some things that we as Christians must lay aside if we are to run this race. Amen? For the weight of sin hinders us from being all that God would have us to be. Some things that we do may not be harmful or sinful, but in and of themselves, they hinder us from doing God's will. And they too must be laid aside if we are to give ourselves wholeheartedly to running our race. Will you say it with me? Lay it aside. Lay it aside. See, first we must lay aside the weight of immaturity and inexperience. Newborn babes in Christ are babes. They can only understand on a child's level the things of God. They can only do what children do. And God does not expect a newborn Christian to be able to render the same service that he is expecting from an experienced, mature Christian. 1 Peter 2 and verses 1 and 2 says, "Wherefore, lay aside all malice and all gall and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." See, this Christian walk is a walk that we should grow and mature in to become more Christ-like. But the tragedy is that many Christians remain spiritual babes and never give themselves to the discipline of growing and training that makes it possible for them to give sufficient service for the Lord. See, the Gospel of Luke tells us that even Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Luke 2:52. There is nothing sinful or wrong about being a newborn babe in Christ, but to remain in spiritual immaturity is a sin against God. We've got to lay aside spiritual immaturity. Then secondly, we must lay aside the weight of self-righteousness. Reverend Jemison told me, don't be afraid of their faces. Amen. But you know, it's sad to say, but in churches today, we've got some self-righteous folks. Amen. One of the greatest enemies or opponents of spiritual grace is growth is an attitude of self-righteousness. All of us have been guilty of looking around with a critical spiritual eye and patting ourselves on the back for our achievements when we consider the failures or deficiencies of others. We've all been guilty of that. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But by precept and parables, Jesus pointed out the tragedy of self-righteousness. In the first beatitude, which is a foundational characteristic of an ideal Christian or citizen of the kingdom of God, Jesus demonstrates how out of place the attitude of self-righteousness is. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 5 and 3. And in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, it contains a meaningful message for the saved and unsaved alike about self-righteousness. In their prayers, there's a difference in their prayers. The Pharisee wanted to pat his chest, but the publican, the sinner man, he got down and said, "Lord, basically, I'm not worthy," but he lifted up prayer to God. He didn't pray in front of everybody to be seen. But he came humbly before God. So we've got to lay aside self-righteousness, church. Then the third thing, lay aside the weight of an unforgiving spirit. An unforgiving spirit. You know, I hear people say, "I forgive you, but I won't forget." Or even some that would say, "I'm not going to forgive you." But my Bible tells me that if we can't forgive our brothers and sisters, how can we expect God to forgive us? Wrongs because of the actions of others are inevitable. Everybody's not going to love you. Everybody's not going to love me. Somebody may go home today after this sermon and talk about roast chicken. Roast preacher Ennis. Amen. Will be the dinner conversation. But there's no way that we can please everybody. There's no way that we can escape criticism. No matter how much good you do, Reverend Jemison, someone will always find fault in you. Am I right about it? And then there are times that others might deliberately try to harm you in one way or another. But Jesus told Peter that he must forgive until 70 times 7 in Matthew 18, 21, and 22. And as long as our attention is directed toward the offending party who needs forgiveness, it is impossible to understand and appreciate what Jesus was really trying to say. His primary concern was the effect of an unforgiving spirit upon the heart and life of the offended person. See, we can be bad with that because bad feelings have a way of festering in us and building up into hate, and hate is a force that destroys and eats away at our joy and robs us of our happiness and peace in God. Hostile feelings are more damaging and harmful to the one who does the hating than they are to the person who is being hated. And I'm sure we all got some haters. Amen. Some of us in here may even be haters to someone. But you know where you are. So all I want to share with you is we've got to lay some of this stuff down because it's hindering our spiritual race. You cannot run a race of the Christian life successfully and carry the grudges on your back at the same time. Amen? They'll slow you down every time, but you've got to lay them aside. See, look at Joseph. Joseph freely and fully forgave his brothers for the wrong that they had inflicted on him. He was able to see how God used even their evil acts to accomplish good for him. The scripture tells us that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. See, when you're in the will of God, even though attacks may come, God's going to work it out for good. But look at Genesis 50, verses 20 and 21. It says, as far as Joseph is concerned, "But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it for good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now, therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones and comfort them and speak kindly to them. God knows it's difficult for us to forgive those who have mistreated us, but we need to look constantly to Jesus, who forgave even those who crucified him. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We need the help of Jesus in the matter of forgiveness. The story is told of an ex-convict who was convicted while in prison, while in prison. He told how at the beginning of his prison term, he had the desire to seek revenge against some people and how it consumed his thoughts and energies. But after accepting Jesus as his personal savior, he was able to forgive and free his heart of hate. See, after the hate was eliminated in his life, he was able to say, "Now I am a new man. Now I have become a new creature in Christ Jesus." He laid all those old hurt feelings aside. We've got to also lay some things aside, my brothers and sisters. Another thing we need to lay aside is worry. Lay aside the weight of worry and care. I was telling our Sunday school class today, regardless of who becomes president, God is still in control. Because someone was asking, why do things happen? Bad things happen to good people. Why did God put Pharaoh in place? To check the children of Israel. Pharaoh had a hardened heart. We don't know what we might get, but whoever gets in, we're supposed to believe that it was preordained of God. And whichever way it goes, God's going to take care of us. Amen? We've been through hard times before, if hard times may come. Amen? But now if we hold grudges, that's not going to work too well. But we've got to lay some things aside. Unnecessary anxiety and worry are the result of a lack of faith. You got to trust God through the good times and through the bad times. Amen? Unnecessary anxiety and worry about the future hinders us from running our race. Worry is useless. Matthew 6 and 27 says, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature?" Worry often comes because we forget the blessings of God. Matthew 26, 28 and 30 says, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" We've got to have faith in God. Cares and worry are damaging. It says in verse 34 of Matthew chapter 6, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." If we worry about the failures of our yesterdays and the uncertainties of our tomorrow, our load will become so heavy that we will be unable to run our race and do the work of the Lord today. My brothers and sisters, we've got to lay aside every weight and sin and run our race. How are you running your race that is set before you? See, we all have a race to run. Everybody can't run the 100-yard dash. Some have to run the 400 hurdles, you know. But we all have our individual races to run. Amen? The Greek athletes, who the writer of Hebrews chapter 12 draws this spiritual truth from, participated in the great Olympic Games. And when they participated, they stripped themselves of every possible hindering weight and they ran their race. Yeah. There are some things that we must lay aside if we are going to run our race and live up to God's will for our lives. Lay aside those weights of spiritual immaturity. It's time to grow up, church. It's time to be the church without spot or wrinkle that the Lord is coming back looking for. Get rid of the inexperience. Experience God for yourself. Lay aside the weight of self-righteousness. There is no place in the kingdom of God for self-righteousness. And in that spirit of unforgiveness, we've got to lay that aside. Amen? And lay aside the weight of worry and care and look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. I'm not going to be with you long, but I just want to remind you that whatever may be hindering you today from running your race, lay it aside, my brothers and sisters. Lay it aside, because whatever it is that's hindering you, God has something better for you. And if you lay it aside, God will take care of you. I know it for myself, because I had to lay some things aside, and God stepped in and carried me on his wings of grace. He stepped in and put mercy in my case. See, I'm glad that God showed me this text, because I've been carrying a few things. And today, this sermon is for me, if it's not for anybody else. But there's some stuff that I gotta lay down, amen, so I can run for Jesus. We've got to lay it aside, the weight of sin that so easily besets us. And I'm so glad today that Jesus ran his race. He ran from heaven to earth for 33 years. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and the shame for your sins and for mine. But I'm so glad that Jesus was willing to lay it aside. He laid down his life on Calvary's cross for you and me. And God gave him a 3-day rest break. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. But early on that third day morning, Jesus got up running with all power in his hand. And now he's seated at the right hand of God, interceding for you and me. Isn't it good to have an interceder? So as you run your race, look to the hills from whence cometh your help. For our help cometh from the Lord. Look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. And lay it aside. Lay it aside, my brothers and sisters. You got to lay it aside and run on for the Lord. Can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah? Amen. Let's give God some praise. Hopefully he's loosing someone from those weights that have been hindering you. Let it go and let God. Amen.
Hallelujah. And lay it aside, whatever it is. Lay aside the hatred, and God will give you gladness. Lay aside the worry, and God will make you a new creature. Church is standing, the man of God stood and proclaimed the word of God with great power. Jesus, you may come by letter, by Christian experience. Candidate for baptism, we invite you to come. The door to my Father's house is standing open. Say it like you mean it. Jesus. Don't you praise the Lord with a hand clap. Did not our hearts burn within as a man of God proclaimed the word of God? Again, to the Reed family and to the Cook family, thank you. Nicole, thank you for your friendship. Lord our God, how thankful we are that this day the waters of baptism was stirred by your power. How thankful we are that we saw a mature man say yes to Christ. How thankful we are that we saw a young man, a young boy, say yes, that my life will be with Christ. And so we pray for these two who are baptized today. And then we thank you for this choir and the ministry music that has come forth this day. We bless your name for Maddie Shields, for Lee Riley. We thank you for Brown. We ask now that as we go singing. And we can sing and we can walk lightly because the burden of worry, the baggage, the impedia, that impedes our progress has been snatched away from us this day. Because we say yes. And declare, oh Jesus, we pray that as we leave this place, that those who have testified that the cancer is gone, that they are cancer free, that they will be living testimony that God is worthy of all of our praise. So we thank you for those physicians and for those professionals who shared their testimony and gave information and instruction on yesterday. We bless your name for them. And then our God, how grateful we are for the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we can take another step in Christ, free from that will cause us to slow down. Thank you. Now may your grace, the grace of God, the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us not just today, but tonight. And not just tonight, for weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. So be with us today, tonight, tomorrow, in the days to come. In the name of Jesus, the resurrected one. In the name of Jesus, our friend, our elder brother, in his name, thank you and we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Jesus, shake the preacher's hand. Oh, shake somebody's hand.